Get ready for episode number 211.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of the RV Podcast, coming to you from location from the RV capital of the world, Elkhart, Indiana, and the RV Manufactured Housing Hall of Fame. It's just an amazing place here in Elkhart. You're going to hear all about it. And you'll hear about some of the stuff we're finding out and discovering as we visit the various manufacturers at RV Open House this week in Elkhart. Plus, we've got your questions, your comments, and much, much more. So welcome. We're glad you put us in your ears this week. Well, what a joy it is to be in Elkhart, Indiana. That's where we're coming from.
I have wanted to come here for a long time because this is the heart of RV country. This is where they manufacture 80% of the RVs that are out there, and I've always been curious about it.
This is the Mecca for the RV world, and it's interesting. We've never been here. I mean, I think we stopped in once to have some work done on something, but we've never been
here. Just kind of passed through quick.
And we did. We had a great time. This is one of those places where you need to visit, and especially the place where we're at now. We're at the Motorhome, RV Motorhome Hall of Fame in Elkhart, Indiana. And to help us understand a little bit about Elkhart, this RV open house thing that we're attending this week, and this incredible museum, which traces the history of RVing, really, with actual exhibits, we're excited to be joined right now in the program by Daryl Sear. He's the president of the Hall of Fame here. Daryl, this is a great place to be.
It's one of a kind in the whole world.
And I think it's hard to describe, so we're going to shoot a video on it and show everybody. But it really we'll talk about it in a second. But it really illustrates just how important of a role in North American history the motorhomes and RVs have become. But first of all, this week that we're here, this is RV Open House, and my goodness, it's a crowded place. Tell us a little bit, what is RV Open House?
RV Open House is when the manufacturers here in Elkhart invite all their dealers from around the world, actually, especially Canada and the United States, and they invite them here to show them their models for next year. And they have every model on display. For example, here at the Hall of Fame is just Thor Manufacturing, who is the world's largest manufacturer of RVs.
But they used to be just the nation's, but after they bought Erwinheimer, they become the world's largest.
Yeah, now they're the world's largest. But they have over 500 RVs out here, to just on the east side of our facility, on the 40 acres of land that the RV Hall of Fame sets on.
Now, it's funny because we just came back from Hershey, Pennsylvania, which is the world's largest RV show, they say. Other places would argue with that. But there are more RVs on display here at RV Open House than we saw at Hershey. Describe how this all happened. We should point out, this is not a show that's open to the public. It's only basically RV dealers and some favored media that get to sneak in. But how did this happen? This has become a huge, you can't get a hotel room for 30 miles around.
That's true. And it started about 8 years ago. And actually, Pete Legal, who was the founder of Force River, is who started it. When he first started it, of course, the Louisville show had been going on for years and years, and they weren't real happy with it, but he felt that September was a much better time to have his dealers come in and get orders so that he could be working on building their units for their lots during the winter months. And so that's how it started, and each year it's grown to the point that Forest River is about a mile and a half to the west of where we're at right now, and you have Thor as an anchor on one end, or a magnet you might call it, and then you have Forest River on the other end, and now all of the property that's available between the two is now full of RVs. It's just amazing.
And how many dealers are in town?
It's estimated at around the 4,000.
And these are, they're here to buy. They're here to buy for the products that will be on their showrooms in spring and summer.
I would estimate that in the 4 days that the show's going on here, that there will be close to $4 billion written.
$4 billion. Wow. Wow, that is a lot.
Between all of the manufacturers and so forth. So.
Give us a sense of what manufacturers are here in the Elkhart area.
You have...
I know you can't name all of them, but they say it's 80%.
Well, 80% of the total production is built within about 75 miles of where you're sitting right now.
Wow.
But the manufacturers would be Winnebago that bought Grand Design. So they're, even though their main factory for motorhomes is in Forest City, Iowa, they have Grand Design here,
here in
Elkhart. And then you have... of course, you have all of Thor's different brand names, which I won't go through, and then Forest River has...
Among some, though, is Jayco.
Jayco
was... Airstream?
Airstream was one of their initial purchases, and then Jayco was one of the last purchases.
And now Road Track and Hymer, and that's all coming up.
Right. They're all here, and so there's... and lots of smaller upstarts now. And I guess that's what made Elkhart the RV capital of the world. It started here... And then as it grew from back in the, really back in the 50s, people would branch off from one manufacturer and start up, and there was plenty of labor, plenty of raw materials. You had Detroit to the northeast, and you had Chicago to the west, and Indianapolis to the south. And so the materials were here to build automobiles and other things. So that's kind of how the RV industry started here. And
a lot of Amish workers here.
Amish workers, they had farms with barns and chicken coops and places, and a lot of them started there. Yeah. Just like Jayco. We now have a book in the library of the 50-year history of Jayco. And it's amazing when you look at the first picture of the Jayco factory as a barn and a chicken coop and the old farmhouse. And it's amazing.
Oh, it is.
Who was first with the RV?
Who started here? Actually, the very first would have been Schultz. And Wilbur Schultz ended up, back in 1935, built the first travel trailer, but they didn't call it a travel trailer. They called it a mobile home. And Schultz never built RVs. Excuse me. They ended up going into the manufactured housing or mobile home industry, back then it was called. And so they were first.
Wow.
And then from there it was probably Skyline would have been one of the very first as well.
We're looking at some of the pictures on the walls here. Now, we mentioned that the RV open house is not open to the public, but this is a place that the public should come, and they should come for this place that we happen to be sitting in right now, the RV Hall of Fame. Tell us about this place, how it came to be, and what people can see when they're here.
Well, this actually started back in 1972 as a Hall of Fame. In a couple of dealers' garages, really, and they started inducting people and honoring the founders at that time of the industry, and then in '85, they built a building downtown Elkhart, and they were in that building from and that expanded to a library, and a small museum. With just a few RVs in it, and then from there, they did a campaign to raise the money to build this place, which opened in 2007. So that would have been about 20 years later than where it started in downtown Elkhart.
And it's a big building, and how many exhibits do you have?
Well, we have roughly 60 exhibits. It starts out in 1913 with a 1913 Model T convertible, and it's authentic and original, pulling a 1913 Earl travel trailer, thought to be the first travel trailer built in a production factory in California. In fact, I believe it's in the World Guinness Book of Records.
Of course, Henry Ford was the first big RVer, and he took people like Albert Schweitzer and Thomas Edison on RV trips. And,
that is correct.
He loved it. And to think that this goes back to that far, 1913, 105 years ago.
Right, and you know, they didn't come out with slide outs in travel trailers and motorhomes until about the mid to late 80s. And what's interesting is right next to the 1913 travel trailer is a 1915 Model T pickup truck with a triple, it has a camper built into it with a triple slide out.
My goodness.
That was in 1915. It used to tickle us because the manufacturers at one time were arguing, in fact, they were suing one another as to who had the first ideas on slide outs, and they'd come to the library to look up to see who was first, and I'd say, you better go look at that pickup truck down there 50, 60 years ago, because they were way ahead as far as the slide out concept.
Now, it couldn't be easier to visit this place. I mean, we're looking right out the windows. There is the toll road, the Highway 8090, the big east-west route. You're right off of that. How long should people spend here? What's the recommended time? Because many times, you know, we get out at a place like this, and we only, let's take an hour off, and you can't see it in an hour.
No, we say figure on 2 to 2.5 hours on an average. Now, there are people that'll go through it in an hour and a half. There are people that'll spend all day here, and if they do, and they're in an RV, we actually allow them to stay in a parking lot.
So you can boondock night.
Can boondock if you get here too late to go through the museum, and that happens a lot because people come from the west, they don't realize we're on East Coast time, so they get here at 4, well that's 5 already, and we close at 5. So we said, that's okay, you can just stay in our parking lot and come in the morning,
That is great.
And then, it's all dry camping, but it's very nice.
Well, as I said, we're going to do a video, so all the folks listening to this podcast, just go to our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. You'll see that video. Give us a couple of days to put it together. But what excites you these days about the RV industry? Darrell Sears, tell us what excites you and I guess Elkhart. What are the trends you're seeing?
Well, what excites me is the continued growth of the industry as a whole, and the fact that 20 years ago the industry had the foresight to start the Go RVing program, and the Go RVing program was to make people aware of the lifestyle of the RV industry, and the fact that it's a family industry, and it's a nice, clean, really fun type industry to be in. And with that Go RVing, the RV industry has survived at least 4 recessions that I've lived through myself. And to see the industry bounce back every time and continue to grow. And last year it produced over 500,000 RVs. This year it'll produce over about 540,000 RVs. And really what's neat is the fact that it cares about its customers. And the fact that it put 1 million units into the into the universe of RVs that are out there, they said, we need to do something to train more technicians. We don't have enough technicians. So Go RVing, which is RVDA and RVIA.
The RV Dealers Association, the RV Industry Association.
Right. Yep. They've now taken some of the Go RVing money, and they've set $10 million aside to build a tech center to train technicians for RV dealers to hire to make sure that when the customer gets his RV, and you know there's problems with everything from time to time, so you need technicians that know how to diagnose and fix problems. And to me, that's exciting because I think that's what's going to to make this industry. It's already over 100 years old, and I think it's going to last forever.
I applaud everybody for doing that. That is probably the biggest problem we have found in our 7 years of covering this this lifestyle, is the lack of technicians. They're hard to find. Before we let you go and we hit on our rest of our podcast, I want to ask you, I read someplace, didn't we read, Jennifer, that unemployment here is basically in Elkhart is basically zero, and that they're looking for almost 10,000 people to come to work here. Is that accurate?
Well, I think the actual is about 2.1%.
That's, I guess, in the region, but yeah.
But you know, I think there's 5% of the people that don't want to work anyway. Yeah, so yeah. Once you get under 5%, I think you're pretty much at full capacity. But there are a number of tech centers in town that are also training right now, like welders and people like that, to work in the factories and in conjunction with the manufacturers. They're going back to the high schools. Like when I was in school, I haven't told you my age yet, but when I was in high school, we used to have machine shop and auto shop and things like that, wood shop, and they've kind of got away from that. Now they're going back to it to teach, because college is not for everybody. So they're trying to teach these young people coming out of high school the skills that they need to work in the factories.
Well, it is a boom town. It is a boom town, yeah. And because of the RV industry. Daryl Sear, thank you for making us feel welcome here at the RV Hall of Fame, and we can't wait to go start taking the video and show
could
our
folks. Could I add one more thing about the museum?
Oh, yeah, please.
That I didn't mention. We have a number of famous units in there. Not just old units, but going back into the 30s when Mae West used to work in vaudeville, and Paramount Studios wanted her to get into the movies. They made a motorhome dressing room for her, so she could go on the site and kind of have her own little space there. So that's in our museum, and we have... see, who's the guy that flew the Spirit of St. Louis?
Charles Lindbergh.
Charles Lindbergh's personal unit is in here as well, and so it's not just old RVs. And the road that you wander through kind of takes you up from 1913 up to the 1985s, and then we have a section that's Go RVing. They have 5,000 square feet that's new RVs, so you can see the old and the new in the same place.
Well, we can't wait to go out and see them. As soon as we finish recording this podcast, we're out there. Daryl, thank you so much for being our guest.
Okay, you're very welcome. It's been my pleasure.
All right, and we have much, much more for you, including a look at some really neat new technology that was introduced at the show by Road Trek. We'll have an interview and a report on that and much more. But first, let's check out the news of the week.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Another sad story of someone dying at a national landmark while taking a selfie made the news last week. This time, the location was Michigan's Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore. The victim, a California woman who was solo hiking the North Country Trail and paused to take a selfie on a 200-foot cliff overlooking Lake Superior. The woman apparently slipped, fell into the lake, and died. Two kayakers witnessed the accident and brought her to shore, but she was dead at the scene. So sad.
Boy, we've been there on that North Country shore right at that spot, and that's a long, long way down. And we've seen it other places. People just taking terrible chances all for a selfie. Yeah? Scary stuff.
Yeah, because when you're taking a selfie, you're not thinking about your feet.
No, and you're trying to get that background just right, and
very sad.
Hey, we've been reporting for some time about the maintenance backlog in our national parks because of shortages in the federal budget. But a story I saw last week was the first I have read of towns near popular tourist destinations taking local tax dollars that would normally fund roads, police, or fire, and instead giving it to the federal government to pay for federal land expenses. Well, the story focused on Vail, Colorado, which is setting aside $120,000 to pay U.S. Forest Service employees
to monitor federal trails and campgrounds, and discussed several other cities throughout the country who are also taking the local taxpayer money and want to pay for federal land care. So kind of everybody chipping in and helping out with that. It's a good deal.
A California startup called AutoCamp has teamed up with Airstream to create a glamping experience for visitors to Yosemite National Park who can book accommodations in 80 Airstream trailers. The company promises luxury camping with the same amenities found in many boutique hotels. Besides all those Airstream trailers, the development features a 4,000 square foot clubhouse with meeting space, fire pits, and a marketplace for food options. Other amenities will include a rooftop deck and an outdoor swimming pool. The Airstream Hotel is just outside of the park and will have shuttles running back and forth all day. I warn you, when it opens next year, it won't be cheap. Nightly rates start at $225.
Ooh, that's a bit expensive. Well, I got a story about a different way to camp in a different kind of camper. This is really unusual. And we'll put a link, of course, to all these stories in our show notes, which is roadtrekking.com/211. But a story about a new kind of camper. Get this. It fits into the back of a Sprinter van. The camper is basically a modular box with extensions that fits in the back of the Sprinter. Only unlike a Class B in a Sprinter, this van is still a van inside. The camper just fits inside of it, and then you bring it out at a campground with several slides until it has the shape of the letter L. It's then a normal camper trailer, complete with beds, a kitchen, TV, storage, and more. And then you pack it up and put it back inside the van. You got to take a look at it. It's called the IO Camper, and it comes. It's made in Europe and where else, right? And I'll put a link in the show notes again. roadtrekking.com/211.
Yellowstone National Park sure has had its share of stories recently of people doing foolish things. This week, the park was in the news when a man went off trail and walked up to Old Faithful, appeared to urinate into the geyser, and then appeared to lay down and looked into a cone. The whole thing was captured on video. Later, he apparently led police on a chase in town for driving recklessly. The man is now facing many charges.
And of course, everybody gets pictures of all of this in this age of everybody having a camera, which is a good deal, right? We get all these yo-yos and wackos off our
national grounds. I'm not sure if that encourages their behavior or if they'd be doing it anyway. I don't know.
I don't know. All right, that's the news of the week. This is part of the program brought to you by Allstays Pro, which is the best tool for RVers looking for places to camp. It's a great, it's a browser-based service that you sign up for. It has up-to-date information on just thousands of places that you can camp around the country. Also by Harvest Hosts. This is one of our favorite things to tell people about. It's a very unique membership service that allows members to stay free overnight at gorgeous places around the country like wineries and farms and attractions, and also by Overnight RV Parking, which is a subscription service that provides details on over 12,000 free or nearly free RV overnight parking locations. So you don't have to stay in these overcrowded campgrounds when you just are overnighting someplace. You try these three services out and you'll find them. Allstays Pro, Harvest Host, Overnight RV Parking. I have links in the show notes to all of them, roadtrekking.com/211. And the reason you want to check that link and click on the links to Allstays Pro or Harvest Host or Overnight RV Parking or all of them is because all those services offer greatly discounted rates to those who are listening to this program. So if you follow those links, you'll get a really good discount on all of those services.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Some time ago, Mike and I filmed a video of the personal touches we added to the bathroom of our road trek. We did this in response to a reader's request. We showed everyone the magnifying mirror we added for me to apply makeup in the morning. We showed some containers we added for soap and toothbrush holder, and we showed some hooks we added for towels, both his and hers, and other such things. In the video, I mentioned that one thing I would like is a retractable clothesline. I wanted one because I wanted to have a place to hang more personal items to dry when we are driving down the road. Commercial dryers are so rough on clothes. I'm very careful when I use them. I want a private place to hang some things to dry so we wouldn't have our clothes strung out throughout the RV as we travel. Well, I am regularly asked by viewers who see this video for the first time if I ever got my retractable clothesline, and I'm happy to say that yes, I did, and I love it. We found the retractable 8-foot long line on Amazon for $12.99. I like it because it did what we needed, provide a way to hang our lightweight, more personal items discreetly. The clothes line is nylon, and it retracts into a stainless steel container that is small, roughly 3.5 inches by 2 inches, and mounted to our shower wall. When not in use, it takes up very little space, which I like. In case this could be helpful for you, I will include a link to our original video in the show notes, along with a link and pictures of the retractable clothesline we use.
Jennifer's Tip of the Week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. Now, Jen and I both have a Rad Power Bike. We have the city bike model. Mine's kind of like, it looks like a beach cruiser, and it is so fun, so comfortable. Traditional guy's bike, you throw your leg up over that center bar and you get on it and you ride upright. Jennifer has the same model, city bike model, but she has the new step through version. We used to call those girls' bikes. In other words, they didn't have that center bar. You just step through them. But now kind of everybody uses them. So they're step through models, not girls' bikes. Rad Power Bikes is just a great place to buy. They have a number of different models ranging from fat tired versions to foldable versions to cargo bikes. You need to check them out at radpowerbikes.com. They are different than any other bike manufacturer around because they have cut out the retail middleman, retail chain, that dealer chain that most of the e-bike makers use. You deal directly with them, and thus you get a premium electric bike without paying those huge markups. In fact, Rad Power Bikes are about half the price of comparable bikes on the market because that chain is cut out. All of their models are top of the line. They have the most powerful motor you can have on an e-bike, 750 watts of power. That means you can, you're street legal. You don't have to have a special license for it. You can ride it anywhere you can ride a bike. All of their models reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling, but you do pedal these bikes if you want, and that really is the fun part of them. You pedal and you get just a little bit of assist. You have a throttle that has 5 different levels of pedal assist for the just a little added boost, or it'll do all of it for you. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. You get free shipping, very easy to assemble. It takes just a few minutes for each bike. Very simple to assemble. 20 to 40 miles on a single charge. And if at checkout you use the promo code ROADTREKKING at checkout, you'll get $75 off plus free shipping. We have a video and you can see the bikes that Jennifer and I have, and we kind of do a little review on what we like about it and how they work. You can check that out in the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/211, or just learn more about Rad Power Bikes by going to radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, I'm going to clear up some of the email questions. We kind of prefer taking all those audio ones, and those are the easy ones, but I don't want to neglect people who've emailed us. And here's one from a reader named Doug, and he says, I've owned 4 motorhomes and 1 travel trailer over the last 25 years of enjoyment with my family of 6. Wow, he's been doing it a long time.
He sure has.
But now there's only the wife and me with retirement next year. I am between motorhomes currently and will be purchasing a Class B camper van for my next one. Having never owned a Class B before, I've owned 3 Class A's and 1 Class C, several issues are concerning my wife and I. how to maximize the storage in a minimized space, how to improve our cell and Wi-Fi capability, and which chassis is best, Sprinter, the Ford Transit, or the Dodge ProMaster. This is from Doug. Wow, we could write a book on all of those, can't
we? You sure
we?
Could.
Yeah, well, let's start with maximizing the storage in a minimized space.
I don't know how long they're going to be gone at one time. I presume it's just going to be a recreation vehicle. It's not going to be their new home. We get by just fine. We're starting year 7. We go on a trip. We know where we're going. And so we pack accordingly.
Now, when we first started, we way overpacked. In fact, we probably still overpack a little bit.
Yeah, sometimes I do. You know, yeah. You get a little carried away.
Yeah, I know I do. I take, you know, oh, I need this, I might need that, and I seldom do. But so you kind of shake down, do a couple of shakedown cruises on, you know, what you need and what you don't need. Like most people take too many dishes, right? And pots and pans.
Right. You have to think about what you're going to cook, if this is going to be a short trip, if it's going to be your new home, then...
If you're going to full, I don't think he's going to full time.
I don't think so. Yeah, not yeah, a B, I yeah, don't think. Yeah, some people do.
Yeah, but, not many. Not many. It's pretty tough to full time in a B. But you know, we've been gone. We've gone on the road for as long as 6, 7 weeks, even 8 weeks, I think, at the longest. But we've been out there a long time. And, you know, you do laundry if you're going to be out on extended periods of time.
You go to a KOA or a campground that has washer and dryers, or you find a laundromat.
My favorite is finding a laundromat in one of the little towns that we happen to be passing through.
Yep, and then look around, enjoy the small town.
But in terms of packing stuff, you know, most people overpack tools. That's what the men do. Pots and pans and dishes, that's what the women tend to overpack. And then we all overpack clothes. We find that you really only need a few changes of clothes, and you know, you wash them. And everybody buys shirts and sweatshirts as souvenirs on longer trips. So
yeah, I got to be careful of that if you're on a real long trip.
But you ask about storage, and you can check around. There's tons. It depends on what chassis you get, how much storage you have. But we have done it now for 7 years, and
we've done all our camping in a Sprinter.
In a Sprinter. Now, let me just jump to that question about which chassis is best, the Sprinter, the Transit, the ProMaster. The Sprinter is the largest of them all, and you will have more room in the Sprinter. It's taller, it's got more storage, and that's from whatever manufacturer pretty much you buy it from. There's slightly different plans. Some have the bathroom in the back. Most have it along the passenger side. There's a galley. There's always a little sitting area. There's a sofa in the back that usually makes into a king size or a queen size bed. And then, you know, your bath has a little shower, but your most room is going to be in the Sprinter. And then the Ford Transit's just starting to come online with a lot of RVers, a lot of RV manufacturers looking to that because they can get these chassis. Sprinter chassis have been in short supply. Hopefully, now with the opening of a new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter's plant in the U.S., that's going to change. But, you know, it's going to take a few months for that to hit the supply chain. So more people are making Ford Transits and Dodge ProMasters. Those are the smaller of them all, and you'll have less storage in those. So you need to go to an RV show, right?
Definitely.
And then your best advice always before you buy.
Rent one.
And
take a trip in it. See what you think.
We just came from the Hershey RV show, and a couple of people have followed your advice. They've now ordered one, and they said that listening to what you said, Jennifer, about renting first made them be able to buy with confidence.
We would have bought one sooner if we had rented one, and I could have seen that there was enough room for two people and a big dog.
That was your concern, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't think we had enough room.
Yeah,
but we couldn't rent one because we had a big hairy dog. They didn't. Yeah, nobody wanted to rent to us with a dog.
That's the problem with a lot of them. They won't let you rent with a dog. But and I don't know if it's just going to be you and your wife. You could get by any of those chassis, but our advice is find an RV show and look there. And the third part of your question was how to improve your cell and Wi-Fi capability. Well. If there's a cell, you know, often you'll encounter areas where there's weak cell phone service. That's where we always use a cell phone booster. We've had one now for 6 years, and it does come in very handy, particularly when we are out boondocking in remote areas, and we really like that. The booster then in turn powers, we use the MiFi or the jetpack, depends on which carrier you have. They all have either a MiFi or a jetpack. It's like a little data card, and then it in turn creates a Wi-Fi network, and that works all throughout your RV or even outside a little bit, you know, if you get the picnic table right next to the RV. And so those are our solutions for the cell, a cell phone booster. Now that only works if there's a signal, if there's a signal enough to boost. There has to be some sort of a signal, but I've gone from one bar to usually three or four when I activate the cell booster. And then, you know, in remote areas. And then the Wi-Fi capability we do all with a jetpack. You can get by with just using the hotspot connection on your smartphone or your tablet. I'm convinced that the jetpack lets you, it just seems to process that a little faster. And that's the way we have chosen to go. So hope that helps you, Doug. Let us know what you do decide. And welcome to the RV lifestyle. All right, here's another one. This is from Kathy. She says, we're shopping for a Class B van. And we've been warned that the disadvantage is that they have to have refrigerators that only work if the unit is perfectly level. Is this true? Yes and no. It's yes if you have an old style and they're kind of on the way out, and the old style absorption refrigerators that many RVs initially had only really worked if it was extremely level, because it worked through gravity in a sense. Most of the modern RVs out there now have compressor powered refrigerators. Sometimes they're referred to as two-way refrigerators because they have two ways of powering it, either through 12-volt battery power or 110-volt power. The absorptions are often known as three ways because they do gas as well. But pretty much now the trend is to get away from absorption because of that leveling problem, among other things. Compression refrigerators you'll find on most, but not all, but most new RVs. Road Trek, for example, uses Norcool refrigerators, which are compression. And the big advantage of a compression refrigerator is they don't have to be perfectly level. They don't need to be as level as you can make them. Absorption refrigerators do. And there's some other pros to a compression. They chill at a much lower temperature and they cool more consistently than absorption refrigerators. Regardless of the outside ambient temperature, because of that more powerful compressor motor that they have. So most compression refrigerators also have freezers because of that motor. They work very well in uneven terrain. And for those of us who like to boondock, we often find that most compressor refrigerators will operate just as well regardless of being flat or on an incline. And they're built with a 12-volt power system in mind, which means they run very efficiently on battery power compared to the absorption refrigerators. So that's our advice. And I don't know how old of a unit you are going to be buying, but if it's relatively new, it's probably a compression refrigerator, and you don't have to worry about those warnings that you heard about having to be perfectly level. But the refrigerator is very important. Very important. Yeah. We're going to go pack ours now.
Yeah, we got to start packing.
As we record this, yeah. We're doing this episode, of course, from the RV Hall of Fame in Elkhart, Indiana. But we packed it before we got here, and we got to make sure we've eaten some of our meals from it. We all make sure that we have repacked it with some more stuff. That's the nice thing about traveling in an RV is having that refrigerator.
Right. Stop by a grocery store or a farmer's, you know, front yard produce stand.
Yep. And you get your own refrigerator. All right. Hey, those are our questions. And you know what we really like is we like to have your voicemail. We'll answer email like this every month or so. We try and get into the email. But it's your voice that we'd like to have you participate by asking the questions and by doing our leave voicemail segment. Here's how it works.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment, click the leave voicemail button on the right side of the RVpodcast.com blog. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
All right, this part of the podcast has been sponsored by Steinbring Motor Coach, Road Trek's big dealer up in beautiful Garfield, Minnesota. They also are a dealer for Newmar Class A's. They have many other vehicles as well, including new Class A's from the Hymer vans as well, Hymer vans from North America. They are a terrific family-owned business. They've been in business up there in Garfield, Minnesota since 1917 in the transportation industry. The sales staff at Steinbring brings you decades of experience in the RV vehicle industry. They're celebrating 101 years in business this year, a third generation family business. That's their name out front there. They take pride. They treat all their customers like their family. And it shows up because Steinbring is named a Blue Ribbon dealer year after year, top 50 dealer, awards all over the place from many of the different RV manufacturers. They specialize in Newmar Class A motorhomes, beautiful Newmars. You need to see all the new technology that's on the 2019s. In fact, just give Steinbring a call and talk to Rich and his crew up there, and they'll fill you in. They also sell brand new Road Trek Class B motorhomes, and they have an extensive inventory of used RVs from brands like Winnebago, Itasca, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler, and Monaco. They have them all: Class A, Class B, Class C, diesel pusher, gas, toy hauler. You are sure to find your next RV at Steinbring's. Along with award-winning sales, they offer award-winning service. And when you go to Steinbring, tell them you heard about them on the RV Podcast.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment, click the leave voicemail button on the right side of the RVPodcast.com blog. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Hey everybody, we're in Elkhart, Indiana, and we are attending an annual event called RV Open House. Now, it's not open to the public, it's just dealers and people who sell RVs and buy directly from the factory. They're the ones who are here.
And this really is a big deal. It is estimated they will order over $2 billion worth of vehicles.
Elkhart, Indiana is the RV capital of the world. More than 80% of global RV production is based throughout this area. That means if you see an RV rolling down the road anywhere in the world, chances are it was built in or around Elkhart.
And the place is booming. The jobless rate is close to zero. That's because the industry is building and selling RVs so fast that it can't keep up. RV manufacturers here have 9,500 job openings right now that they are looking for people to fill.
Technology plays a major part in RV innovation these days, and at RV Open House, something called Watt was unveiled by Road Trek and the Irwin-Hymer Group that takes off-the-grid boondocking-style camping to a whole new level.
What is this?
So this is a battery charger, but it's a hybrid power system. So what it does is it'll keep your batteries topped up throughout the evening, just like you'd consider a normal generator. However, it runs on a fuel cell. So we have a propane-powered fuel cell at the heart of it, and the hybrid piece of it incorporates solar panels. So we can actually run on solar and on the fuel cell. And depending on how the solar situation is set up at that time, it could be the evening or whatever, the fuel cell will kick on and fill in the gaps.
So what does this mean to me and my RV out boondocking in the middle of nowhere?
So it means you get power when you need it, quietly. So it's running right now and you can't hear it in the background.
Wait a minute, it's running now?
It's running right now and you can't hear it in the background.
Wow.
You get no generator emissions, so you can actually breathe the exhaust. It's safe. So quiet, clean, safe, and it runs when you need it. So you don't have to go start your generator or shut your generator off. It's just working all the time in the background. So when you need power and your batteries need to be topped off, it will start up, top them off, and shut itself back down.
How much propane does it use when you're out
going back? So this runs at a third of a pound an hour. So a 20-pound grill tank that you could get at any convenience store run for about 60 hours. If you need less power, we actually can turn down and use less fuel, so that could even go further if you're not using full power.
And how does it work in conjunction with solar?
So what we do is we monitor the battery bank the entire time. And so we determine when the battery bank isn't sufficiently being charged by solar, we are able to augment that by adding the fuel cell. We can also start up the fuel cell. You can force a charge start. You can do all different kinds of things. But it basically makes the decisions for you in the background, so you don't have to worry about it.
It's a hybrid energy system. We don't compete with solar. We complement solar. We don't compete with batteries. We optimize batteries.
And do you leave it on all the time, and then it kicks on when it needs to?
It basically is sleeping and just watching everything at a very low power consumption. And when it determines it's time to turn on, if there's solar available, it will always turn on and try. And if the batteries get down to a preset charge level, it's going to actually start the fuel cell up.
All right, so it's the middle of the night. It's really hot. I'm going to bed at 11 o'clock. I turn on my air and I want it to run all night long. Most air conditioners are going to drop off after about 4 hours because they suck that juice out of the battery. How will this help me in that situation?
So this is going to give you an extra 40 to 50 amps of power to complement whatever you're draining out of the batteries, which should get you through the entire evening.
Wow. Yeah. It's called what?
Watt fuel cell. This is the Imperium.
W-A-T-T, working all the time.
Yeah.
very clever.
We've been focusing for many years now on all the technology to allow people to boondock and to get people out there. So, you know, we have the lithium batteries and the engine generators and the 12-volt air conditioners and that kind of stuff. And, of course, everybody in the industry is now starting to copy all that, and that's great. So we're continuing to push forward and looking at really the environmental impact and the length of time you can boondock for. And in order to achieve that, we're really focusing in now on the use of propane fuel cells, which are virtually emissions-free, great for the environment. Propane is readily available everywhere. There's no combustion, and they provide almost endless power. Quiet, clean, endless power. You know, you get 60 hours out of a small propane tank. In one of our coaches, in our propane systems, you'd get four times that. So you get 240 hours of charging out of one of those fuel cells. So it's really exciting because it's going to change the industry, this one. You know, you're going to be able to charge your electric car pulling a small trailer, for instance, using the fuel cell in your coach. In your trailer. It's just an amazing innovation, and we've been working with the people from Watt for about 4 years on that, and it's been a terrific time, and we're just coming to market with it now.
How long before this all comes to market? In the next year are we talking about, or longer than that?
I would say that you will see vehicles at Pomona for sale with fuel cells in them.
That's in just a couple of weeks.
That's in a couple of weeks.
Well, we will be there. That's good.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Jim, why the... Is it another double-digit year for Class B RV sales in general? What do you attribute that to? Why such a massive continued growth in Class B?
Well, you know, I think all the manufacturers, to a certain degree, are leading the way with better products. And because there's so many more manufacturers in and so many more dealers in, Class Bs are starting to get known now in society. For many years, people would walk up to me and say, I didn't even know these existed. And now, today, they're getting to be prolific everywhere, and more people get to know about them, and people say, well, this is just smart. I can park in my own driveway. It's parkable, drivable. I can boondock and camp anywhere I want. So, you know, people are discovering it, and it's starting to go anywhere. As well, you're starting to see innovations like our new Hymer Active Pop Top, the Loft Edition, that sleeps five people in a Class B, so a family can now use it. You know, just a recent Hershey show, it was the dominant vehicle we sold. A different age group is getting involved in Class Bs now, and it's more like Europe, where families use Class Bs, and here now we're seeing the same thing. So you're going to see all those things, and I know some of our competitors have done an excellent job as well attracting that more outdoors crowd. So it's becoming more prolific throughout society about how people use them. They don't have to go to campgrounds, and people like that. And I think it's just going to continue to grow in double digits every year.
Now, Chris, I got to ask you about the changes with Hymer North America and Road Trek. You sent a note out to all your customers that this really excites you.
Do you know, the acquisition of us by Thor is just such a positive thing. And I think it's really important to understand, this wasn't a random act. You know, the Hymer family was interested in divesting a portion of the company. A number of bidders made offers. Thor was a great fit for everybody because they understand our business. They're very decentralized. They like an entrepreneurial spirit. They like us to what we do. We love what they do. They're financially stable. So was EHG, so it was really easy. I just think this is a great fit for everybody. And from my perspective, you know, nothing changes. We're just going to continue to put great products out there and give great customer service. And, you know, it's a business, so we're going to make money doing it. And I think that's why Thor acquired us.
Lots of innovation, lots of new products that will be showing up in dealerships next year.
Now, be sure and check the show notes, roadtrekking.com/211, and you'll see a video version of that interview you just heard. And you can see that technology that Jim Hamill and the two guys from Watt Fuel Cells demonstrated for us. Very cool. And just check out the video. Go to the roadtrekking.com/211, our show notes page, and you'll find it there. The interview of the week is brought to you every week by Sunshine State RVs, where every new or used motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country, as long as you tell them you heard about them right here in the RV podcast. Sunshine State RVs has, hands down, the largest selection of used Class B motorhomes in all of the U.S. You heard Jim Hamill just talking about how popular Class Bs are. And if you are looking for a used Class B, you know how hard it has been to find one because they are in such great demand. Well, check out sunshinestaterVs.com because the folks at Sunshine State RVs, based in sunny Gainesville, Florida, have an incredible selection of all sorts of Class Bs from the most popular brands like Road Trek, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, and more. They also sell brand new Road Treks. In fact, they have new Road Treks in stock right now on the lot. You will not find a wider selection of used or new RVs in the Class B category anywhere else. They sell Chinook new Class Bs and Coachman new Class Bs, and every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They make sure that everything works the way it's supposed to, that everything's in top condition. They go over the interior, the exterior. Jennifer and I have visited them on a number of occasions. We're impressed with their technology, with the way they service the vehicles they sell. And again, if you buy a motorhome from them and tell them you heard about them on the podcast, they'll deliver it to your driveway wherever you are in the continental U.S. SunshineStateRVs.com.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
All right, time now to check in with our pal from Verizon Wireless, Andy Choi. Andy, what do you got for us this week in Traveling Tech?
Hi, Mike. Last week, we talked about some of the latest and greatest smartphones on the market, including the Apple iPhone XS and the Samsung Galaxy Note 9. Let's get even more mobile with some of the newest wearables that can do some pretty amazing things. So this week, here are some watches to watch for. As we mentioned, along with the iPhone XS, Apple has released the Apple Watch Series 4, redesigned and re-engineered to help users stay connected, be more active, and manage their health in powerful new ways. It features not only a 30% larger display, it also boasts a new accelerometer and gyroscope, which are able to detect hard falls and utilize an electrical heart rate sensor that can actually take an electrocardiogram using the new ECG app. Now, this app has been granted a de novo classification by the FDA, and to help Apple Watch Series 4 customers get started, Verizon will also offer a special introductory cellular trial with the watch. From a popular wearable for the grown-ups to a brand new one for the kids, the Gizmo Watch is the latest addition to Verizon's Gizmo Kids family of children's products, offering parents peace of mind that their little ones are safe, all while giving kids a smartwatch that looks cool and is fun to use. Created for children ages 3 to 11, the Gizmo Watch can receive phone calls from up to 10 numbers that parents choose and approve. In addition, you can select up to 20 different text messages your child can send to his or her parents current approved contact list. Connected through Verizon's 4G LTE network, it's the perfect first device for your child or grandchild looking to stay in touch with loved ones. You can pre-order your Gizmo Watch through Verizon now or pick up one in stores when it launches October 10th. So whether you're keeping tabs on your heart rate, your little ones, or just keeping tabs on time, now might be a good time to take a look at some great smartwatches for you and your family. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Andy Choi with Verizon.
Our traveling tech tip of the week is brought to you this week and every week by Verizon Wireless, which operates America's most reliable wireless network. Verizon says better matters, and they mean it, and the surveys prove it. They are ranked highest in almost all of the leading network studies, multiple tests year after year that measure network quality, performance, and user satisfaction. Can your network say that? If you're stuck on the wrong network, head over to Verizon and get unstuck.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Well, we are deep in the middle of the fall RV show period. And as we said earlier in answering one of the questions, the best way for you to shop for an RV is to visit an RV show, because there you can see a number of different RVs from a number of different manufacturers. You can price check between dealers, but you can get in each of them one after another, see how the layout feels, and it saves you so much time. So here's what's on tap over the next this weekend and then next weekend. September 28th through the 30th in Austin, Texas. Well, actually in Round Rock, Texas at the Dell Diamond. It's the Austin RV Super Sale. That's at the Dell Diamond in Round Rock, Texas, near Austin there. September 28th through the 30th, the Washington State Evergreen Fall RV Show in Evergreen State Fairgrounds in Monroe, Washington. September 28th through the 30th in New York, it's the New York State Recreation Vehicle Show, and that's at the New York State Fairgrounds in Syracuse, New York. And then looking ahead into October, starting that first weekend of October, October 5th through the 14th, it is the huge California RV show. It's held at the LA Fairplex in Pomona, California. Jennifer and I will be out there. We will be making some meet and greet times with everybody on Saturday the 6th and Sunday the 7th between 11 and 1 every day, that Saturday and Sunday, that first weekend. So come out and see us. We'll be at the Road Trek Erwin-Hymer booth, and that's at the California RV show. You know, Hershey, which we just had a couple weeks ago, they say they're the biggest. That's their official name, by the way, America's biggest. But the California RV show in Pomona certainly gives them a run for the money and may even be bigger. And then, of course, coming up in January, and we'll be there too, out in Tampa, Florida, it's the RV Super Show there. So those three are the biggest ones in the country. So anyway, if you are anywhere near the LA, Pomona area, come on out and see us at the California RV Show. Again, Jennifer and I will be there that first weekend, Saturday the 6th, Sunday the 7th. We'll be doing meet and greets from 11 until 1. But the show runs, it opens on October 5th, and it runs through the 14th, the California RV Show.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, I want to thank everybody here in Elkhart, Indiana, the RV capital of the world, especially the folks at the RV Hall of Fame. For making us feel so welcome. We had a great time out here. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. Remember, if you would like to have your voice heard and be a part of the podcast, leave us that voicemail message. Click the right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com RV lifestyle website. We invite you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or Tuned In. New episodes are released every Wednesday. We're available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. Invite you also to join our mailing list, 31,000 strong. We send out a special e-message to subscribers every Monday, jam-packed with RV news that you can use, kind of a sneak peek at what's happening in the RV lifestyle world. And don't forget our YouTube channel, loaded with helpful videos on the RV lifestyle. Search YouTube for RV Lifestyle and you'll find us. Till next time, on behalf of my wife, Jen, and our dog, Mo, I'm Mike Wendland. See you out there somewhere on the open road. Happy trails, everybody.